Good morning and welcome to week two of the legislative session. Thank you for joining us for today's Florida League of Cities Monday morning call-in. For those that are new to the call-in, we start each call with the lobbyists from the FLC discussing the key bills they're working on and watching this week and what advocacy efforts we need your help with. Once the lobbyists have shared their updates, we'll open the call for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please press *9 on your phone. As a reminder, this call is being recorded, and we will send a summary email out, as well as a link to the call's recording, later today. Please note, it's not possible to cover every bill we're following during a 30-minute call-in. For a comprehensive list of bills that the league lobbyists are actively working on and monitoring, go to flcities.com, hover your mouse over the advocacy tab. On that drop-down menu, fourth or fifth on the list is a bill summaries link. You can click on it and you can see a summary of every single bill that we're following. All right. It's a busy week this week. Typically, this first month of the legislative session is pure chaos. Bills are moving. All of the committees are meeting, and so there's a lot of activity. Typically, that things start to slow down weeks 5 and 6, and so this first month is figuring out what the real threats are and ultimately trying to make a difference in this process. So with that as an introduction, I'm going to kick it over to David Cruz for our first update.
Thank you, Casey, and good morning, everybody. I'm going to start off with a brief update on the sovereign immunity issue, and I want to start off by thanking all of you that have reached out to your legislators on this issue. Your advocacy is certainly making a difference. I've heard several good reports of feedback from our members that have reached out to legislators. So, I want to thank you very much on all of your efforts on these bills. The quick update is that Senate Bill 604, the Senate bill on sovereign immunity, is currently not scheduled to be heard this week. So that's some good news that the Senate bill did not make it onto the Senate Judiciary agenda for this week. The House bill, House Bill 401, is in the House Appropriations Committee. By this afternoon, we'll know the House Appropriations agenda. That has not been released at this point. So we are waiting to see if the House Sovereign Immunity Bill will be considered this week on Wednesday or not. If it is up on Wednesday, please expect to see a notice from us via email so that you could all go ahead and reach out to your House members on the House Appropriations Committee. If you have not reached out to your legislator on the House Appropriations Committee to discuss the sovereign immunity bill and let them know how this will impact your cities, please do so. With that, I wanted to switch gears and talk about a bill that we are actually supporting. It is Senate Bill 718 by Senator Yarbrough and House Bill 653 by Representative Kennedy. These bills deal with annexation and contraction. Specifically, the bills are trying to address a scenario that came up out of a second DCA court opinion dealing with contraction. Contraction is simply de-annexation. And the issue that we're dealing with here is when a citizen-led de-annexation effort has been started, where citizens are trying to redraw municipal boundaries to leave a city. Current law left a lot of questions, and so what we're trying to do in these bills is to say that a feasibility study has to be done where we could study what kind of impact that would have to the city, who's going to be providing fire, who's going to be providing police services, what happens to any services that the city is providing that have been bonded. All of those things should be considered. And then at that point, the city will get to vote at the city commission level, and that the city can vote to deny the de-annexation effort if needed. And so those are bills that are supported by the League of Cities, and that the Senate Bill 718 will be up on Wednesday in the Senate Community Affairs Committee. And again, we support that bill. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jeff Branch.
Thanks, David. Good morning, everyone. Want to place a bill on your radar this morning that was up on Friday. It's up today. The bill number is Senate Bill 1068 by Senator Collins, having to do with drones. Our current position right now is we are opposing that bill. What this bill would do is it would prohibit cities from withholding a business tax receipt for any potential drone delivery companies in your city, as well as prohibit a ordinance, regulating an ordinance of delivery services based on the location of the drone port. In talking to the House sponsor last week and the Senate, both House sponsors, Senate sponsor, we had concerns, especially as it relates to zoning, setbacks, and reasonable location of the drone port. They have agreed to accept an amendment that we're currently drafting, and so just wanted to place that on your radar because the bill is up today. As you know, we're still awaiting bills to be agendaed for the rest of the week, and so stay tuned. With that, I'll hand it over to Rebecca.
Thank you, Jeff. So I'm not going to talk about any bills on the calendar this week because, like Jeff said, I'm still waiting on agendas for the latter part of the week for some of the bills I'm spending my time on. But I wanted to put two bills, remind you that two bills that are out there that are going to pack a big punch and hit you right in the pocket. The first one is dealing with solid waste, and that is Senate Bill 798 by Engolia and House Bill 975 by Holcomb. You may have received an email from us about these bills. These bills would prohibit you from having an exclusive franchise for solid waste services for commercial and multifamily residential property. It would also significantly impact or restrict your ability to provide these services yourself. If you're a city that has your own trucks and equipment and employees that do that, and it would also cap franchise and permit fees for any sort of solid waste license or franchise to only the cost of administration. That's the part that'll pack the punch for you. We've asked a lot of cities that are concerned about this bill, if you've got outside lobbyists, to ask those lobbyists to coordinate with me. We have a meeting about the bill later on this week, so if you haven't already done so, please direct your outside team to work with us, and we'll hopefully get a good coalition together to start working these bills and make sure that they don't proceed any further. They haven't been heard in committee yet, by the way, which is a good thing. We'd like to keep it that way. Now I'm going to move on to a different issue. Similarly, a big fiscal impact, as well as some policy concerns. This is House Bill 1331 by Representative Busada Cabrera, and it deals with municipal utilities. It affects water utilities, wastewater utilities, and electric utilities of local governments, specifically cities. It doesn't affect county utilities, only cities. The first thing it does is it puts a cap on any extraterritorial surcharges that you may charge for serving customers outside of your city boundaries. It caps it to no more than 10%, but whatever the cap or whatever the surcharge is, it has to be based on some complicated formula based on the percentage of people that are served outside of your boundaries. The second thing it does is it would subject all of these utilities to the regulation by the Public Service Commission. And the third thing it does is that it caps any transfer of utility revenues to general revenue. It allows those transfers to only be done for utility purposes. And there's a penalty for doing a transfer beyond what the bill allows. If you do a transfer beyond that, then it would withhold state funding for various infrastructure projects. And it also would require a referendum on any utility transfers to, and it's a complicated situation there as well. The referendum, if you only serve customers inside of your city, is a referendum inside your city. If you serve customers outside of your city, it's a referendum both in and outside the city. The bill as drafted is pretty unworkable, but it also, you know, from a policy perspective, is a really significant one, even if they start to get that language a little bit more understandable. So we're very concerned about that bill. There's not really a Senate companion, a direct one that's been filed. The closest companion in the Senate is Senate Bill 1380 by Senator Martin. This bill affects municipal electric utilities only. It doesn't address water or wastewater. But it is an amendment away from affecting water and wastewater. So we're keeping our eye on that one and working on that one as well. This one simply provides that if you serve customers outside of your boundaries, then it would subject your municipal electric utility to regulation by the Public Service Commission. Neither of these bills, either House Bill 1331 or 1380, have been heard in committee yet. They've been referenced. They're going to require a significant amount of work. So similar to the solid waste issue, we are enlisting the help of any outside lobby teams that your cities may have, because this is going to require a coordinated and strategic effort for how to go about addressing these bills. Have your outside teams contact me if you're concerned about these bills as well. My email address is rohara@flcities.com. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tara.
Thank you, Rebecca, and good morning, everyone. I have two bills both up tomorrow that I want to put on your radar for this week. The first one is Senate Bill 714 by Senator DeSigley. And this one is dealing with short-term rentals. This will be up in the Senate Regulated Industries Committee at 4 p.m. tomorrow. High level, what this bill does is it sets what a local registration program can look like for vacation rentals. It places some new enforcement requirements on DBPR. It also has new accountability measures for the advertising platforms. This is first of three committee stops, and we are actively working with the bill sponsor to pursue a few changes to the bill. Really, our three asks to the Senate sponsor and the committee is to address a few pieces of this legislation. One, it's capping the registration fees at $50 for an individual property or $100 for collective registration. We feel those are too low and will not cover the cost of enforcement and inspections. The bill also does not address occupancy limits. We would like to see those in place. We're also pursuing some stronger language for the DBPR requirements on enforcement and accountability to make this bill more workable for local governments and for the whole system to work as intended. Also up tomorrow at 4 p.m. is Senate Bill 774 by Senator Broder. This one is dealing with local financial disclosures. We are opposed to this bill. What this bill does is pretty simple. It is changing the financial disclosure requirements for local municipal elected officials, as well as your city managers, changing it from the current Form 1 requirement to the more complete Form 6. This is the same that's done on the state level with state legislators, as well as county commissioners. This is its first of only two committee stops in Senate Ethics and Elections. Our ask, we know this bill is very important to a lot of our members. We have heard several concerns from you all. And the strategy here is if you have a relationship with a member on this committee or a relationship with a member of either the House or Senate, this is one that we feel is probably going to take some personal phone calls and some personal testimony to really, you know, drive our points across the finish line here. So please make those phone calls, and if you are in town this week and available to testify in committee, please let myself or Allison Payne know, and we can help coordinate. That is all for me so far this week, and I will toss it over to Charles.
Well, happy Monday morning. Thank you, Tara. Again, you're seeing a recurring theme. A lot of us are in wait-and-see mode for agendas later in the week to be posted. The one bill that I am really looking forward to seeing if it makes an agenda or not is the PCS for House Bill 439 by Representative Stan McClain. It deals with land development and land regulations and development regulations. It was heard last week in the local administration subcommittee and passed 13-3 along party lines mostly. We do want to say thank you to those members that raised questions about the bill. This bill does a lot of different things as it relates to land use and development regulations. It's fairly comprehensive. We do want to thank Representative Stan McClain for his efforts with the substitute text to make the bill better, but we're still hoping to have a robust conversation about amendments as it relates to 12 different items. Just to give you a teaser trailer on that, the bill still removes the ability for local governments to use levels of service standards as a basis for denial for petitions. It also continues to limit the use of appropriate and professionally recognized data in decision making. In essence, it would freeze your comprehensive plan data in time, and no new information could be contemplated in the future. Lastly, it redefines key terms that have been battle tested through the courts over decades. One of them being the definition of urban service area, the second one being the definition of urban sprawl. The ask here for all of you is that please stay in touch with your legislative delegation. A gentle phone call, a gentle nudge to them to say, hey, you know, this is still an important issue for us, to please contact Charles Chapman. You can give them my email address. That is C Chapman, C-H-A-P-M-A-N, at flcities.com. I would welcome those phone calls to go out to your legislative delegation, and would welcome the opportunity to have a robust conversation with your representative and your senators. The second part of that is the notice goes out on March 15th at 4:30 p.m. We're hoping to keep it off of the Commerce agenda in the House, which would be heard on March 17th. So any kind of help you can give us in propelling this forward momentum to get amendments to this bill are welcome. The good news also is that the Senate bill has not been heard. That number is 1604 by Senator Angolia. Its first stop will be in community affairs, and it is not on the agenda for this week. We ought to take that as a win for right now, but we still need to keep pressure and keep educating our Senate delegation informed about the impacts of this bill. That's it for me today, and I'll kick it back over to Casey.
Thank you, Charles. We'll now transition into question and answer, the question and answer portion of the call. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 9, and when it's your turn, please state your name and the city you're affiliated with. While we're waiting on a question to roll in, just a couple things to bring it back for this group. The notice deadlines are 48 hours in the House and 72 hours in the Senate right now. I think that's even more of a reason to sign up for our legislative alerts, either through email or for text. That is a great way to stay plugged in on the really big stuff that we're following, working on, that's moving through the process. The other is, we've heard there's some acronyms have been thrown around. PCS stands for Proposed Committee Substitute. And so it's a comprehensive amendment to a bill brought forward or endorsed by the full committee. And so when Charles was talking about that big land use bill, that proposed committee substitute was basically a rewrite of the bill, a significant rewrite of the bill brought forward by the leadership of that committee, hence the PCS proposed committee substitute. So with that, let's go into our first question.
Good morning. Frederick McCoy, council member for the city of Riviera Beach. Good morning. Thank you guys for doing this.
Morning.
I came in a few minutes late, and I just wanted to find out, Casey, I believe you said that you can subscribe to, I guess, some updates, because I missed a couple discussions regarding, I came in on the tail end of the utility bill discussion, which will greatly impact our ability to levy surcharges for users outside our municipal boundaries, and also the financial disclosure. So where can I get a short list of these items that were just brought up in this morning briefing?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Thank you for asking it. Mary Edenfield on our team is the point person for that. So if you're interested in receiving the summary email of this call, of everything we've talked about, if you're interested in signing up for the alerts, any of that stuff, Mary Edenfield is the point person. Her email address is medenfield@flcities.com. M, Eden, like the garden, field, like a ball field, @flcities.com. And she can get you set up so that you receive those legislative alerts, you receive on tap, and then we can send you the link so that you can sign up for the text messages that we send out as well.
Okay, thanks, Casey. Thanks, Jeff. You just sent me over the email. I appreciate it, folks.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for being on. Next question.
Hi, good morning. This is Commissioner John Linden in Lake Park. Rebecca, I had a question. Who's sponsoring the bill for 798, Senate bill, on the prohibition of exclusivity for solid waste? I didn't write that down quick enough. I wanted to reach out today. So who's the sponsor on that bill?
Yeah, good morning. The sponsor of 798 is Senator Ingolia. Ingolia.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, I was there last week, and if I should have asked last week, I would have stopped in and seen him. All right, Rebecca, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thanks for being on. And just a reminder, folks, if you come to Tallahassee, give us a ring. Come over to the league office. We can set you up with a briefing. We love seeing our members when they're in town, and also getting updates on your meetings at the Capitol. So thanks for coming to Tallahassee. I know Palm Beach County Days was last week. We have Polk County Days this week, so we look forward to seeing our city officials from Polk County this week. Next question.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Mayerson, Commissioner, City of Parkland, and President of the Broward League of Cities. Tara, this one's
good
for
morning.
You. Good morning. On Senate Bill 77-4, which is the financial disclosure, do we know what the impetus of that bill is? Because I had a conversation on Saturday with Senator Polsky, who sits on the committee. I'm going to tell you it's going to be a heavy lift to change minds, but one of the questions that she had asked me if we knew what the impetus behind the bill was.
Thank you for that question, Mr. Chair, and good morning. I think there's a few things at play here. One, we've had for the last several years, the Commission on Ethics has been recommending this as a change to state law. Traditionally, their recommendation has been just for the municipal elected officials. They did have a meeting a few weeks ago to change that recommendation and now also include city managers as well. So I think that's one thing. And then there's also just the philosophical argument at the state level that this should be consistent across the board for all elected officials. So it's certainly hard to change hearts and minds when it's a philosophical argument, but I think that's why it's important that they hear our message about the impacts of how this could deter, you know, good qualified candidates from running for office, especially when there's so many local governments and it's, you know, smaller jurisdictions, and you also have far less, you know, smaller budgets than they do at the state level. So I think the more they can hear from our folks on this one, the better.
Right. I mean, the characterization of the financial disclosure, it's the same disclosure that we require, that we do Form 1 versus Form 6, but the only difference is one is a little more invasive into knowing what the specific stocks or bonds or assets or liabilities that you have.
Yep, that's correct. It's just a much more detailed form with you know, those individual line items.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner. Next question.
Good morning. This is Maria Mitchell, the mayor of City of Miami Springs. And I just I didn't catch the name of who I reached out to at FLC regarding the financial disclosure forms.
Hi, good morning. My email address is T Taggart, that's TAGGART at flcities.com. So T Taggart at flcities.com. I'd be happy to catch up and answer any questions I can.
And on financial disclosure, just one thing to make sure that we reiterate it. Is that it's going to take personal testimony from local elected officials, I think, to make a difference on this bill. We know many of you are super passionate about this particular issue. And so it's going to take personal conversations with your members. It's also going to take personal testimony in Tallahassee in committee hearings. And so if you're fired up on this issue, please come to Tallahassee. We sent an alert out on Friday. Please let us know that you're coming into town. We can help prep you and have you ready for that public testimony and that hearing. But your stories are the ones that are going to resonate much better than any testimony provided by a lobbyist on your behalf. And so please reach out to us if you're wanting to speak on that process. We can make sure it's a seamless process for you when you come to Tallahassee. Next question.
Good morning, Casey. It's Jolene, President of the Florida League of Cities. How are you?
Madam President, it's another day in paradise. How are you?
I'm good. No questions today. I just want to thank every single member on this call today for getting involved, for actually being a part of this process and being willing to work alongside our league to deal with these very difficult issues that you guys are facing in Tallahassee. I just want to continue to encourage and reiterate what's been said by our team. Your stories are very, very important. I was reviewing the on tap with the cap. Casey provided a lot of great information on these bills, and I've been sharing them with my staff. Do not take for granted that your staff may not be aware what's out there. They also have very busy, busy lives and busy, busy things on their table as they're dealing with issues with our city. So make sure you're sending those bill informations to your staff to see if there's any stories, or more importantly, any issues that they see that these bills are going to be impacting your city personally. And I encourage you to please share those stories with our team in Tallahassee. Those things are really what's going to make a huge difference. And as Casey said, personally reach out to everyone. And Casey and team, you guys are awesome. You do not have an easy job this year. There's a lot of stuff that's going through the House and to the Senate that we've all been seeing that's pretty scary. And you guys are fighting the good fight up there. And I just want to send you guys words of encouragement. And I look forward to seeing everyone in April. I cannot wait to see everyone in Tallahassee. And everyone just continue to do what you're doing. And hopefully this year we will leave with zero preemptions as we've done many years before. So thank you so much. God bless you guys for your hard work.
Thank you, Madam President, for your leadership. Amen on everything you said. And we have just a tremendous team here, and nobody's going to work harder than us at the Capitol. So thank you for your comments. Next question.
Hi, Linda Davidson, City of Boca Raton Financial Services Director and past president of the Florida Government Finance Officers Association.
Hello.
I would like to say, hi, good morning. My question is for Rebecca as it relates to the solid waste. I think I heard her say that the bill is only relating to commercial and multifamily, so it doesn't affect if a city provides residential pickup.
Hi, only? Linda.
Hi,
yeah.
Rebecca.
Hi. So the bill applies, the way the bill is written, it says commercial, industrial, and multifamily residential. So commercial and industrial are pretty easy to identify. Multifamily is a little harder because my understanding is that many cities will classify certain sizes of buildings as multifamily for purposes of garbage collection. So mm-hmm. like some ordinances will say anything with, 6 or more units qualifies as, multifamily, or is in a different category, right, than single family residential. So when you ask, does it apply to residential? In large part, no, it does not apply to single family residential directly, but depending on how you've characterized it in your ordinance, it may cause some hiccups there. But one mm-hmm. thing to keep in mind about this bill, while it doesn't directly impact residential services, the necessary or what's going to happen if this bill passes is that for those of you that have negotiated good rates on the residential side with your waste hauler, because it's, that's a big money suck. The money is made on the commercial side. And so there's a smoothing out of rates. So as a result, what's going to happen if this bill passes is that residential rates are going to have to increase.
Unless you provide the service yourself.
Unless you provide the service yourself. That's right.
Correct. Okay. All right. Thank you. And I really do want to appreciate the league's advocacy for us, especially as it relates to home rule.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you very much. All right. It's 9:30, and I don't see any more questions in the queue. I want to thank everybody for being on the call today. for us to have a successful session, we need our members to be engaged, following along with us in this process. And when the time comes to act, to make that phone call to your House member or to your senator. And for some of you to come to Tallahassee and provide personal testimony on some of these important bills that we've talked about today. So thank you for being on the call. We will see you next Monday morning, 9 a.m. In the meantime, if there is anything that we can help with or you need specific updates on individual pieces of legislation, give any of us a call, shoot us an email. Thanks, everybody. We'll have a successful week, too. See you next Monday morning at 9 a.m.